We fast forward from Abraham six generations to Moses. Just to briefly describe that, Levi, who was one of the sons of Jacob, Levi was the great grandson of Abraham, or one of his great grandsons. And Moses was a great grandson of Levi through Kohath and Amram, who was the father of Moses. So we see, if you do the quick calculation in your head, there are six generations from Abraham to Moses. We know Moses is a prophet because the scriptures say that he was in several places. We want to first go to the end of Moses' life. In fact, after he dies, we want to read a couple of verses from the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning with verse 10. And this is actually following his death. And the writer records this in the narrative, beginning with verse 10 of Deuteronomy 34. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror, the King James says, but the better translation would be the great awe-inspiring deeds which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Now, we don't know exactly when or by whom this, we'll say, postscript to Moses' life was added, but regardless of that, I believe it was God's way of showing us his viewpoint of Moses as a prophet. There had arisen not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. That is quite a statement. Now, we don't necessarily think of Moses as a prophet in the same sense as we would perhaps Isaiah or Jeremiah, Daniel, and others whose writings are specifically designated as prophecy. Yet the scriptures are clear, such as the one we just read and others, both in the Old and New Testament, that Moses was a great prophet of God and a great prophet to Israel. In fact, one of those places is in the context of the convention theme text in Luke, the 24th chapter, where Jesus, when speaking to the two disciples that unknowingly were speaking to him, not knowing that he was the risen Lord, on the way to Emmaus, he says to them in Luke 24, verse 25, "Thou fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And then the convention theme text, verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself." Now, shortly after Pentecost, Peter also confirms this fact of Moses being a prophet, where he says, as recorded in Acts 3, verse 22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me." And we're going to come back to that verse a little later. Stephen also, as he was defending his position, not really defending himself, but defending the word of God, in Acts 7, verse 37, this is recorded. Stephen said this, and he's referring to Jesus, "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear." Well, these statements were pointing back to words that were given by both Moses and God, found in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verses 15 through 19, which we will now read. First, we have Moses speaking, Deuteronomy 18, 15, and 16. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, and now we have God speaking here in verse 17, 18, and 19. God says, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I, God, will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now, as you said, we're going to come back to some of these verses later in our discussion, but to suffice it to say at this point, that these are all clear statements from Scripture that show to us that Moses was indeed a prophet of God, and we believe a faithful prophet of God. You know, Moses is very prominent in the Scriptures. In fact, there are only two individuals in the Bible whose names are cited more than Moses. Jesus, as we would expect, and David. Moses is cited the third highest number of times in the Scriptures at 768. 768 times his name is recorded, at least in the King James translation. In the New Testament, Moses is cited more than any other Old Testament character, 80 times. Moses is specifically mentioned by name in the New Testament. Well, we might ask, and Brother Obi touched on this morning, what constitutes a prophet of God in the Bible? You know, the definition of a prophet is more than just a foreteller of the future. In fact, we look at some of the dictionaries from the Hebrew and the Greek, both the Old and the New Testament, concerning the word prophet. And certainly a foreteller or a predictor of the future is one of the definitions. A prophet is also, though, defined as a divinely inspired speaker, expounder, or writer. Again, hearkening back to Brother Obi told us. Also, another part of the definition for prophet in the Bible is that he is oftentimes a spokesman for God. He also can be an interpreter of God's laws and instructions. And then finally, the Theres Greek definitions also defines a prophet that he can also be a poet or a songwriter, especially as one divinely inspired. Now, we think of David perhaps most often in this sense, that he, you know, the book of Psalms and much of David's writings were in the form of song or poetry. And yet they were divinely inspired. And so David, too, was a prophet in that sense. Well, how does Moses' life, and again, only realizing we're just going to be able to scratch the surface of his life, how do we see the role of Moses as qualifying him in any of these five definitions that we've mentioned? A foreteller, a divinely inspired speaker, writer, expounder, a spokesman for God, an interpreter of his laws, or perhaps even as a songwriter. Well, we'll suggest at the beginning that he did satisfy all five of these in various ways. We suggest that Moses had a number of roles in his life. He was a leader. He was chosen by God. And as a leader chosen by God, he was God's spokesman, fulfilling one of these important definitions of a prophet. You know, he filled this role of a leader for 40 years, the last 40 years of his life. And as such, and as God's spokesman in this leadership role, he was a mighty prophet. Where did Moses get his leadership skills? Well, in some senses, he originally got them from his first 40 years of his life under the tutelage of the Egyptian pharaoh and his household. Stephen, again, referring back to the book of Acts in chapter 7, verse 22, refers to Moses being learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Moses' training in Egypt surely would have included leadership and organizational skills, which would be useful to him later on when he would lead the Israelites out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years. You know, after 40 years, Moses probably thought that he was ready to lead the Israelites. But God knew better. Though Moses had had much training in Egypt to be a leader from certain standpoints, yet God realized that his character was not yet ready to lead. In order to combine the skills that he had learned in Egypt to lead and to organize and then be ready to lead the Israelites, God knew that there were certain skills of character that needed to be added to Moses' life. And so he became a shepherd for 40 years. Here he learned other skills: meekness, humility, tenderness, and care, as he was a shepherd during that time. Patience, and oh, how he would need that. I also think that Moses learned introspection and self-examination because as a shepherd, there were certainly many, many hours during those 40 years where he could think and contemplate upon God and upon God's arrangements. This too would be greatly needed in the leadership role he would later have. And so at the end of his second 40 years, at the age of 80, God knew that Moses now was ready to be the leader of Israel, and hence his spokesman and his prophet. Through the Red Sea, which we discussed yesterday, through the wilderness for 40 years, and through the arrangements of such things as the tabernacle and all the ceremonies of the law, which themselves pointed forward prophetically to many, many things, Moses was a leader, and as such was a prophet. Another role that Moses had was as God's lawgiver. This also fits the definition of a prophet as that of being God's spokesman, and also that part of that definition of being a divinely inspired writer, a speaker, an expounder, in this case, of God's law. Certainly, we would never question Moses as in his role as Israel's lawgiver and hence God's prophet. Now, obviously, it was God's law. It wasn't Moses' law. But Moses was the spokesman. He was the inspired writer and speaker for God. Now, he had a mouthpiece. He had a helper, Aaron, his brother, who was chosen to assist in this work. But yet, the words and the laws of God almost never came directly to Aaron alone. You know, when you read the accounts in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and so forth, most often the record states something to the effect that God spoke to Moses and Aaron. Or in some cases, God spoke to Moses and said, "Speak unto Aaron thy brother, thus and so." And then Aaron would speak what Moses had told him and what God had told Moses. A good example of this is recorded in Exodus, the 4th chapter, verses 28 through 30. And of course, this is at the very beginning when God first called Moses and Aaron as his helper. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And so we see the order here that God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to Aaron. And Aaron, in many cases, spoke to the people, or in some cases, carried out the various actions or the signs or even the miracles that were required. But in all cases, Moses was the primary spokesman for God, and hence God's prophet. How extensive was Moses' role as his lawgiver and prophet? Well, we consider this. In the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, we have a total of 103 chapters in those three books. 70 of those 103 chapters specifically deal with either Moses receiving from God or speaking for God, sometimes through Aaron and sometimes directly, all of the laws which became part of Israel's covenant. 70 chapters of laws, all of which Moses was directly involved with imparting to the Israelites, and of recording as part of the scriptures. On top of that, we have the book of Deuteronomy, in which all but the last chapter records Moses' own personal reflections, his recapitulation, as it were, or retrospective look of God's law, and in some cases, his interpretations of the law, which we'll also talk about shortly, as his farewell message to the Israelites before he died. That's a total of 103 chapters from Exodus through Deuteronomy, in which all have to do with Moses' role as Israel's lawgiver and spokesman, inspired writer of God, God's prophet. You know, Moses' role as lawgiver, it spoke on every conceivable subject. There were laws governing worship, the priesthood, feasts, all of Israel's religious affairs, ceremonies, sacrifices, offerings, justice, and judgment. All of the tabernacles, construction and instructions, the Sabbath, and many temporal matters related to health, hygiene, family, neighbors, cattle, crops, marriage, divorce, disputes, servants, circumcision, diet, foods, punishments for disobedience, tithing, and the list perhaps could go on and on. There's much, much more. Now, what a responsibility, what a privilege, what an honor Moses had to be the one who would impart these laws of God to the Israelites. What a prophet. Another role that Moses filled was that of a teacher and judge. And in fact, you know, as we think of him as God's lawgiver, it wasn't just that he necessarily repeated verbatim the laws that were given to him. It says, it's recorded in Exodus, the 24th chapter and verse 12, that the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and the law and commandments which I have written. But notice what he adds, that thou mayest teach them. Moses was to be a teacher, an interpreter of God's law to the people. Later, Moses himself testified of this in Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter in verse 14, where he says that the Lord commanded me to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. He was a teacher and an instructor. He interpreted God's law in a way that the people could understand more fully what it meant. And this was of great importance. Yeah, we want to mention just one example of this. And this is an example that's very familiar to us, and it was alluded to yesterday by Brother Tom. You recall in Jesus' ministry, this is recorded in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 36 to 40. One came to him and asked him, what is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Here Jesus himself was interpreting Israel's law by these words. But you know, these words that Jesus spoke, he actually took from Moses' teaching. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, again, this was Moses' retrospective look at the law. And he teaches and boils down certain facets of the law by making one simple statement, which Jesus then quoted. Deuteronomy 6, 5. Moses said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's what Jesus quoted. Four more times in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says almost exactly the same statement, speaking of keeping God's law with their heart, with their soul. This was an interpretation in which Moses is in essence saying, this sums up the first four commandments of the law, their responsibility toward God, as Brother Tom mentioned yesterday. But what about Jesus' second great commandment, to love thy neighbor as thyself? Well, this is taken from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. Now, this was words of God, but here again, he gave it to Moses to teach the people. And what does this verse say? Leviticus 19, 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Here we have another one sentence interpretive summary of the last six of the Ten Commandments. If the Israelites would love their neighbor as themselves, they would be in a position to keep those last six commandments, their responsibility toward their fellow man. Moses helped to interpret that and was used to interpret the greater meaning of these commandments. And Jesus also picked up on that and showed that to this one who had asked him which were the greatest commandments of the law. You know, Moses also received some advice from his father-in-law, Jethro, which is most interesting. This is in Exodus, the 18th chapter. I want to read and paraphrase just a couple of verses here. This is Jethro, his father-in-law, speaking to Moses. This is beginning with the 19th verse, Exodus 18, 19. Hearken now to my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people of Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And notice verse 20. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. You know, Jethro realized that his son-in-law Moses had a greater job than just repeating the words of God's law. He needed to be able to teach them, to show the people what they meant. And as we go on in those verses, Jethro realizes that Moses would need some help. And so he counseled Moses to select certain ones from the Israelites to help him in this teaching and in this judging and this interpreting. And so in verse 25, it says that Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people and so forth. And verse 26, and they judged the people at all seasons. But notice what he says, the hard causes they brought unto Moses, but the small matters they judged themselves. You know, it shows that there was a lot to this role as a teacher, an interpreter, and a judge of God's law. Moses engaged help, but yet he was still the one responsible for the most serious and weighty matters. Certainly another evidence that he was God's prophet. Another role that Moses served, as we know so well, was that of a deliverer. It fits the definition of a prophet in a very special way, we believe. Because Moses, as Israel's deliverer, or the human representative of God as Israel's deliverer, was himself prophetic of an even greater deliverer. We want to refer again to Stephen in the 7th chapter of Acts and note what he says in verses 35 and 36 of Acts 7. He says, "This Moses, who they, Israel, refused, saying, 'Who made thee a ruler and a judge?' The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. And then we notice these words of the Apostle Paul, in which he speaks of Moses as a deliverer, but then speaks of a greater deliverer. This is in Romans, the 11th chapter, verses 25 through 27. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." And so we see Moses as the human instrument used as Israel's deliverer, which in itself was prophetic of the even greater deliverer that Paul says which would come out of Zion. You know, another interesting point about Moses as the deliverer, and we mentioned this a little bit yesterday. After the crossing of the Red Sea, which Moses was God's spokesman for, Moses led and sang a song recorded in the 15th chapter of Exodus. It was a song of deliverance. And even in this song, Moses was a prophet, as a songwriter, as a singer, as a poet, because there is so much in that song that pointed forward to future events and God's plan, which, as we quoted yesterday, are alluded to in the 15th chapter of Revelation. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. The fifth role of Moses, and I think is really a role that he developed throughout his life and was vital in order for him to fulfill the other aspects of his role as a prophet. He was a man of character. Moses had to be a man of upright character to be God's prophet, just as Abraham had to, and others of God's prophets. What were some of Moses' outstanding character qualities? Well, just briefly. First, he was a man of faith and a man of faithfulness. In Hebrews 11, 24, 27, and 28, 29, Paul says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Through faith," verse 28, "he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood," and so forth. Verse 29, "by faith they passed through the Red Sea." Of course, he speaks, as we mentioned yesterday, of all of Israel passing through the Red Sea, but it was Moses and his leadership that helped make that possible. And so he had much faith. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verses 1, 2, and 5, Paul speaks of Moses' faithfulness. He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Another quality of Moses' character quality was that he was meek and humble. Numbers, the 12th chapter in verse 3, says that the man Moses was very meek of all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Another quality of Moses was that he was patient, long-suffering, and forbearing. And oh, how this was tested during that 40 years of his leadership of the Israelites. He put up with much in the way of murmuring and complaining and even threats against his life and against his leadership, sometimes even by his own brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam. And yet in nearly every case, and we say nearly every case because we know the one instance that's recorded where it just pushed him to the limit and he sinned. But aside from that case, we believe and is recorded that he remained calm and only responded as he was directed by God. You know, Moses was not perfect. None of these prophets were perfect. But yet we believe, and as certainly cited by the Apostle Paul and others, he was a faithful prophet of God. Another quality of Moses was that he loved and cherished Israel, even in spite of their many weaknesses, in spite of their murmurings, in spite of their unfaithfulness. He loved his people. He wanted them to be faithful. He wanted them to be obedient. He wanted them to enter into the land of promise, even when he was unable to. He even pleaded on certain occasions to God to spare them from destruction and to destroy him. Another quality of character in Moses was that he was seemingly tireless. You know, he never retired from his ministry. In the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy in verse 7, it said that Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. What a testimony to a life well lived right until the very end. Another important quality of Moses' character, and this one I think is so beautiful, is that he considered it a great privilege and honor to have close communion with God. It started at the burning bush, and it just built from there. You know, with the opening verse that we read in Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, said that he communed with God face to face. This is mentioned in two other places. In Exodus 33:11, we read that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And in Numbers, the 12th chapter, verses 7 and 8, we read, my servant Moses, who is faithful in all my house, this is God speaking, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. What a character Moses had, which qualified him to be a great prophet of God. You know, perhaps the most well-known prophetic statement by Moses is one that we alluded to earlier from Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verses 15 through 19, where he speaks of a prophet like him that would be raised up at some time in the future. And that even though the Israelites didn't hearken to his words often, they would need to hearken to the words of this greater prophet. We know that this greater prophet was none other than our Lord. You know, in the 17th chapter of Matthew, we have recorded for us the transfiguration scene in which Jesus is transfigured before Peter, James, and John in his glorified condition. And who was with them? Moses, or in this vision, not literally Moses and Elijah, but in vision, they were there. But Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he says, God speaks through an angel, a voice out of the cloud, Matthew 17:5, in which he says, he doesn't say to listen to Moses or to listen to Elijah. He says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And that's just what Moses had prophesied, that a greater prophet would come. Hear him when he comes. And of course, Peter, shortly after Pentecost, quotes Moses' words, recorded in Acts, the third chapter, verses 22 and 23. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. You know, we see from these two passages a fulfillment of Jesus as the greater prophet than Moses in two senses. First of all, he's a greater prophet to us, as was shown by Jesus to his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then when Peter speaks after Pentecost, he speaks of a time yet future during the kingdom when the greater than Moses will speak to the world of mankind, natural Israel and all the families of the earth, as a great prophet, and they will hear and have to obey his words at that time. Moses pointed forward to this as God's prophet, to the greater one, our Lord Jesus. There are so many other scriptures we could refer to that allude to Moses as a prophet. I have a list in front of me of just 11 that we wish we had time to go into. We just don't have the time. Moses had no visions or preconceived ideas of honor and glory for himself. His focus was upon God and upon his fellow Israelites. We see this especially throughout the book of Deuteronomy. As we said, Moses' departing message of hope and encouragement to the people and the nation. Enter the land of promise. We want to close with the first 13 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 31. And notice Moses' departing message to the people, to his successor Joshua, and to the priests. Deuteronomy 31. To the people, he says, Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and to the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have given you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Then to Joshua. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. The Lord, it is he that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And then finally to the priests, He wrote the law. He delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the Ark of the Covenant, and unto all the elders of Israel. And we won't read the rest of the verses, but if you go on and read verses 10 through 13, we see his final message to the priests, to the sons of Levi, to the sons of Aaron. What a loving and heartfelt message by this aged prophet and leader to those who would soon enter the land of promise. Lord, brethren, we've just, as we said, scratched the surface of Moses' life. He was a leader, a lawgiver, teacher, a deliverer, and perhaps most importantly, he had a character that God could use. What a prophet, what a leader, what a character, what a legacy. May the Lord bless us as we consider and think upon this mighty prophet of God.